Hi, everybody. You tuned into the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. This is Flash Talks Cash, the show about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Andrew Newman.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Andrew. Today's show. All right, I got
to
tell
you. You told me to hit you.
All right.
Can we thank?
I want to thank my engineer and my producer before I forget, because many times I forget. We got Jack Inslee and we got Dan today, engineering and networking.
What's Dan's last name?
I don't know.
Jack?
All right, forget it.
We'll get that later, I guess.
We've got a sponsor. We're going to talk about Whole Foods. We want to thank this Whole Foods market. They remind you that every bite has a story, so whether it's a tomato, a muffin, or a T-bone steak, your conscious food choices can change the planet. Because at Whole Foods Market, every single purchase you make helps us support things like animal welfare, organic agriculture, equitable trade, and energy offsets. Let's think before we eat. Let's retake our plates. Well, that's really great that this is going on in the food industry, because today we're talking about the bloody banks.
What does one have to do with the other?
I'll tell you. We have to bail out the banks because they won't take responsibility and do the good things that the food industry is doing. We're talking about the banks again.
Well, we never talked about the banks in the first place.
Well, we talked about them during the financial crisis. Yes, we did.
I did. You did.
You weren't there.
No.
That's right. So today we're talking about what the foreclosure market is doing, what's going on in the foreclosure market. The banks have been in the hot seat again, because first of all, the consumers have been complaining that their houses are being foreclosed and they're not ready to be foreclosed. They don't have the right paperwork. They weren't informed properly. All this messy paperwork, and the banks are going forward and doing what they're not supposed to be doing. They're just signing off and they're just taking people's houses when they're not legally entitled to at that point in time. It's a mess.
Well, I don't know. I can see both sides.
No, you can't.
I can.
Well, how could you say that the bank has a right to illegally take someone's house?
Well, they're not illegally. Yes. It's not like the person has been paying their payments every month. And now, all of a sudden, wow, shockingly, they're just taking my house.
Yeah, but it's not that. It's that there's a legal process in place where the bank can't just come along and say, you haven't paid for 3 months, we're taking your house. No. You know it's a whole process.
Of course.
And it has to be filed properly with all the correct agencies. And in some states, you even have to go in front of judges to get a foreclosed property. But the consumers have been saying they're not being served proper papers, and the papers are not being done in the rightful manner. And what's happening is, you know, the title insurers, the people who are selling short or buying foreclosed properties, you've heard of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The title insurers can't make heads or tails out of the trail of ownership and who owns it and what bank owns it and where it came and where it's going. They're not even allowing title insurance on newly purchased properties. You know what title insurance is?
No, I was going to ask you, what is title insurance?
Well, title insurance is really important. When you buy a property and the title insurance company gives you an insurance policy which secures your property against any previous owner's liens. So if, you know, George Jones owned it in 1930 till 1960, and then there was a judgment against George Jones, and you don't have title insurance, and you own that hot property in 2010, they could legally go against that property, even though George Jones doesn't own it anymore, and get whatever.
How?
That's the legal process. You're allowed. The lien is against the property, not against George Jones. So George Jones did something. They put
a
lien on
the
property.
George Jones got the money when you bought the house.
No. George Jones sold the property. It's had a lien on it. The title insurance company failed to uncover that lien, and therefore the person who was owning the property now is responsible for all this bad behavior.
Why?
That's what title insurance does. It cleans the liens. It clears the title.
That's retarded.
Well, listen, when you
go to sell a house. You want me to yell about insurance? I'll yell about insurance while you yell about banks.
We don't want to yell about insurance.
Why not?
You want a clear title. You've heard of that. Clear title.
I've never heard of that either. I don't own a home. I'm not even searching for a home. I don't think I'll ever own a home. And thank you very much.
Well, let's say you could buy a car.
I don't want a car either. What the hell do I want a car for?
Oh, come on. Yeah, try to work with me.
No assets.
Work with
no
me.
No assets. Going down with nothing. How am I supposed to take care of you when you're older if I have all these bills and such? Remember that from last week?
Yeah, well.
I'm your health insurance policy. I'm your long-term care and policy.
I'm in trouble now. So not only are the consumers with these foreclosed properties, not only are all of those people who are dependent on their kids to take care of them in the old age, the banks are now saying, I guess we're in trouble again. They're in trouble again, and they want Congress to step
in. So now they're
in
trouble not because they overextended themselves with these loans.
No, they messed up the paperwork.
They messed up paperwork.
So they illegally took properties back. Now, if you can't bank on a bank to do the right thing, well, that's a stupid thing to say, because the banks don't do the right thing. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they were the cause of all the real estate crash, right?
No, the people
and
were.
And they got bailed
it's
out.
It's a combination there. People should know they can't afford these things.
These people don't know. They go to the banks, the professionals.
Balloon payments, no down payment.
They don't know.
Interest rate, come on.
You go to a professional to advise you, and then the mortgage broker.
So go to a professional. Don't go to the bank.
The mortgage broker, we're going to talk about the mortgage broker, are the guys who gave all the bad advice and the illegal paperwork to the unknowing consumer. And the banks processed the mortgage broker's illegal paperwork and gave them loans. So the banks are in bed with the mortgage brokers. And the banks got bailed out. They got money to keep going. Well, that should have never happened. What did they do? They turned around and they have more unscrupulous behavior in the next stage of banking business. It's just not working.
If someone owes you money and they're not paying you.
Yes.
I understand there's a process to the whole situation.
There's a legal process,
correct. But if you're sitting there and you see the person in your house that they're not paying for, what are you supposed to do? I understand there's a process, but these processes could take forever.
Well, that's
they're trying to recoup their money to pay back the bailout, maybe. I mean, is that maybe it?
They are not trying to recoup. They don't want your house. The last thing in the world a bank wants.
Well, they want to sell it to someone else.
They don't, and that's the other problem. They don't allow, they don't even, so now let's go to that next step. So now they're bumbling the paperwork, right? And they're wrong. And so now, through this bumbled paperwork, people have tried to buy foreclosed properties through the banks called short sales or foreclosed properties, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that the banks have a hard time closing on those deals? They don't want to close on those deals. Why?
Why are they having a hard time?
They're not willing to write down the mortgage. Suppose there was $350,000 mortgage on the property, and they're only able to sell it for $250,000. The banks are having a hard time saying, okay, I'll take a mortgage for $250,000. They'll rather keep the $350,000 bad mortgage on their books than take the $250,000 and write off the $100,000 loss. That's what's going on the banks.
So they're going to hold on to the property for years until...
Well, who knows what? But they have millions of properties.
What are they supposed to do with this? The person no longer has the mortgage because they took the house. So right. that's gone.
Correct.
So they lost their $150,000.
Correct.
So they're not going to sell it for $250,000. What are they going to do with that?
They're going to hold on to the house.
For what?
Well, nobody knows why.
Then they're going to pay the real estate taxes?
No.
Do they get an abatement on that? Because it's so big. What, give back the money for the bailout by paying real estate taxes?
I don't think so. So you wonder why the banks don't go and sell the foreclosed properties and sell short sales. They're very reluctant to do that because they have to recognize those whopping losses on their books. And
so that's
the reason why. They are in worse shape than they're willing to admit to. And so they're causing more problems. And now they stop the foreclosures. Eventually, the foreclosures are going to go through once they clean up their paperwork mess. So the people sitting in those houses, they're not off the hook. They're eventually going to get thrown out. However, they bought themselves some time because the government is now telling them they have to clean up their paperwork.
Won't this cause their stock prices to drop?
Isn't this disgusting that the banks can't do anything right?
Are you really asking me that question? I think they're doing the right thing. How about we disagree about something else?
Oh, here we go.
I think we're good at that.
Let's talk about the people, like you claim, should know what they're doing.
They should totally know better.
When they buy their house.
Yes.
So he has a little quick story about a man who wanted to refinance his house a couple of years ago and do some improvements on his house, right? So he went and he saw a TV ad with attractive terms, and he contacted the lender and he locked in the refi at 5.125%.
Okay. Variable or fixed?
Fixed. Okay.
It was fixed.
Fixed. $350 for the loan application, and he was on it, and he was going to close in 45 days.
Okay.
Okay. We've all heard that story.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't know.
Of course. Well, it sounds...
I've never closed on anything. Keep going. Tell the story. I want to hear the rest of the story.
It sounds legit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So then the trouble begins. First, the company delays the closing, saying it's behind on the paperwork. We've heard that before, right? Sure. And then after 90 days, the company informs the homeowner that his locked-in rate has gone up to 6.2%. He lost the low premium rate. That's called a teaser.
I understand.
Okay. So next, after two more months of futile phone calls.
So now he's 5 months in.
He just walks away from the deal.
So he lost a few hundred dollars.
Well, he happened to get his $350 back. Good for him. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And he claims, and I agree with him, it was a bait and switch. It took me 5 months not to refinance. Okay? He spent 5 months circling around and never getting anywhere with these people. So you got to see the signs of a bad loan. First of all, if they're advertising unreasonably low rates, you got to think, why could this guy give me a 3% mortgage when everybody else is offering 4.5%? You got to look at that. So you got to use common sense. There's aggressive marketing tactics out there. Very little industry oversight, as we've been talking about this new problem with the paperwork bumbling problem.
You're a big bumbler today, huh?
No.
A lot of bumbling.
And then if somebody's asking you to sign, falsify application information, that's a red flag. If someone urges you to borrow more than you need, if they push you to accept payment terms that you can't really realistically afford, you got to stop and step back and say, this isn't working.
So are you agreeing with me now?
I'm agreeing with you have to use common sense, and there are bad boys. And these are some of the tactics that the bad boys use.
Exactly. So you have to be smart not to sign up for these things.
Okay, but not everybody else. And I'm trying to educate them.
Okay.
All right,
fine.
So, and then if they show up at the closing with completely different loan product than you signed up for, or they ask you to sign blank forms, they say that this is going to speed things up and they'll fill it in later on. This is big red flags. Don't do it, okay? Then the likelihood of you if you get involved in a loan and then it just drags on, this guy's 5 months, they hope that the longer you stay into this process, you're going to sign the papers at the end of the day, even though you're getting a product that you didn't sign up for. Okay, so it's all used to wear you down, to switch and bait and switch, to just confuse you. And if you're not really on the ball about this, they're going to get you. They get those people. They don't tell you your closing costs up front. They often tell you, oh, you lost your rate and we got to charge you more. So be very, very careful when you go look for a mortgage.
Flash, we got a caller.
Okay, let's hear what the caller has to say.
Hey, I am a member. I know your theme is foreclosure, and I got my credit foreclosed, so I know it's not exactly on topic, but someone stole my identity and opened a credit card in my name and defaulted on it. They opened it with First Premier Bank, and I found out because my credit report came and said, you know, you have this X on your file and you've defaulted on it. So, of course, I filed a police report. I also went to, I filed a report with the credit bureau and with the credit card company under who had this false credit card for me. But what happened is Citibank, which is the worst bank in the world, ended up sending me two letters and saying that your two credit cards, their credit has gone from about $24,000 to $500.
You mean your credit, limit?
Credit, yeah.
Your credit limit,
right. From about $48,000 combined for the two to $1,000 combined for the two.
Right.
So I called them. I was like, oh, hey, there must have, I hear what you did, but, contact the police. You could contact Experian. You could contact First Premier Bank. The police report, all that. Like, I have all this credit. Everyone believes me, but you guys. So, could you install my credit? And they said no.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't even have a person within Citibank who could make a call to First Premier, and say. And they're like, nope, you will not get credit. And I was just thinking, what if I needed to buy medicine?
Yeah.
Or something like that. And it seems like it. Citibank is breaking the law. And I'm wondering, like, how does credit get foreclosed like that? And is that an issue that's coming about? And how unfair is that, that, you know, I have a great relationship with my bank for 25 years, mm-hmm. and because one person steals my identity, instantly mm-hmm. I lose all financial security.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thanks. And I understand your problem, and I wonder if a letter to the Consumer Protection Agency, there's a special Consumer Protection Agency for banking and credit card stuff. So I think, like, there's a public service kind of an organization that protects consumers. They need to know, because you are being, it sounds to me like you're being...
he lost all his credibility, apparently, for not doing anything.
He's being penalized.
Yeah.
He's being penalized and then being unreasonable. I mean, if you can send them the documents, the police report and all the other things, ask for your credit to be reinstated. And if they say no, I think you need to take it a step further and go to the Consumer Protection Agency.
What happens if, say he has, I don't know, say he has $5,000 worth of credit and they knock him down to $1,000? What happens to, like, the if he's over his limit? Does he get hit with over the limit fees or...
Well, I don't know about that, but they won't let you charge. They shut your card down.
That's crazy.
Until you get your limit down. I don't know. What happens during the financial crisis.
That's completely unfair.
During 2008, a lot of people, especially business people who used their credit cards and had high limits, suddenly went from $200,000 credit limit to a $14,000 credit limit. And it was just, it's stopped people from doing business.
That's ridiculous. And then you wonder why we went into a recession.
That's why I said the banks are the bad boys.
I hate the banks.
We hate the banks.
Let's take a break and we'll come back, I guess.
Okay, we'll be back. Thanks.
Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares. There's Natchez in the bathroom, just below the stairs. Always something happening and nothing going on. There's always something cooking and nothing in the pot. They're starving back in China, so finish what you got.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. I just want to let everybody know that the phone lines are open. You can call us anytime. The number is
718-429. Jack, help, Jack.
718-497-2128.
Drew, I'm a numbers person.
I totally forgot our own phone
number.
Wait,
his job.
I forgot our phone number.
Your job is to give the phone number out there. I want to thank the caller. Anyway, let's wrap up. I want to finish up about the banks. I trashed the banks. The other thing I want to say, oh, I forgot to mention, we're supposed to have a guest here today. The FBI lady was going to talk about mortgage fraud. And she called up the other day after she was approved by the legal department. They decided they wouldn't approve her coming on to Flash Talks Cash and talk about mortgage fraud. Goes to show you the government ain't there for us. Their program is to get out to the public and tell them have some transparency, let them know, the public know what's going on inside the government agencies.
That's what her job was?
That's her job. And for some reason, the legal department thought that Flash Talks Cash wasn't a good fit for her.
We're too high profile, I heard.
I don't know. All I want to do is I want you to know that the government is not going to help you.
I think it's because they must have done a background check on Nat and I.
Oh, yes,
Jack, please. I think I'm worse than you.
Yes. Well, thanks, but I think I'm going to have to replace my engineer. No. More importantly, let's just forego the government and let's just take care of ourselves.
Let's stop paying taxes. Paying taxes.
Well, that's not going to work.
Death and taxes.
That ain't going to work.
The death part.
So let me just finish up. So we know the banks are the bad boys. We know that the government's not going to help you. They're going to send this to Congress now, and Congress is going to pass a new law, and by the time they get the law through, and they're going to have to follow this paperwork. Well, you know what? That's like letting the horse out of the barn and trying to close the door after the horse is out, right? Doesn't work. None of these programs have been working. Foreclosures are still out there. The modified programs to help homeowners stay in their homes aren't working. Short sales aren't working. Reverse mortgages. Do you know what that is? Maybe I'll talk about that another time. Reverse mortgages is when mortgage brokers go out there and people who are older, who have equity in their homes, they have a house free and clear and it's worth $300,000. They give them a mortgage and they give them $300,000 and they get the house at the end when the person dies. That's kind of like a reverse mortgage, or you could pay the mortgage off.
What's the point of that?
Well, people who don't have money
when
they're old.
We'll talk about that another day.
Yeah. And these credit repair companies, beware, beware, beware. There's a lot of dirty dogs out there. They're all preying on people who don't know financial facts and aren't on the ball.
As we said a few episodes ago, talk to some people about these things before you sign anything, before you do anything. Yep. Talk to not only the mortgage broker or your banker, because apparently they aren't looking out for you. Talk to somebody else like Dr. Flash Fleming.
Yep.
You know.
Professionals that are in the talk to your friends.
Once you get that PhD, Flash, we're gonna call it Dr. Flash.
I'm not getting no PhD.
What happened? What happened to the extended education? You were so proud of yourself last week.
I have plenty.
So proud.
Okay, so let's
I got a question here, Flash.
We're gonna go to the email bag and find out who's asking Flash.
I got a question. I found a building in,
who's it from?
I'm sorry, it's from Eric again.
Oh, Eric.
I found a building in the Stuyvesant Heights section of Bed-Stuy. Originally it was two buildings combined and opened up over the years. The ground floor is a garage that is currently used to house limos, and above are two apartments, one left, one right. I don't know what that means, but the asking price is more than it can afford, but combined with another person, it is doable. One of the apartments needs a gut renovation, the other we don't know yet. The potential plan is to partner with one of the people currently in my studio building, and we would both move our studios there and live above, or she would rent one of the other apartments and I would live there. I don't know what that means either. Her husband is an architect. The debate is how to set up the partnership. If we go ahead with it, set up an LLC, or would you recommend some other structure? And then he says he's going to give you a call.
Okay, Eric. That sounds like a nice plan. I hope it works. Your building should be bought outside of an LLC. The two of you individually, I assume, are going to own 50-50. You're going to come to the table with 50-50 down payment, and that you will be joint owners in that building. If you try to do an LLC, you try to get a mortgage in an LLC, it would be much more difficult.
Isn't that like a business thing? Don't they charge you a higher mortgage for that?
Yeah, commercial loan, correct.
That'd be a good,
yeah. So the best thing, especially if you're going to completely owner-occupy it, and the studios are going to be occupied by you guys, that's a solid owner-occupied a mortgage kind of thing. The most important thing is when you go to your lawyer, they're going to set it up where if one of you dies, that share will go to the heirs or whatever that legal term is. And your father's a lawyer, so he should be able to take care of that. I want to wish you good luck on that process. I know you've been at it for a long time, and it sounds like this one might fit.
I'm excited. Let's get to the new segment.
The new segment is
I'm really looking forward to it.
Stump the champ or the chump.
The champ, 3-0 last week.
3-0. All right. He's going to get... let's see how his record does.
I think I hear Jack applauded me in there.
This is fact or fiction, Andrew. Fact or fiction. Do you know if the government is allowed... You know, tax deadbeats. The government is always out there looking for your assets, finding things out about you to try to collect their money, right?
Of course.
Okay. Is it true that the government can go after your banks, your wages, right? Say yes or no.
Yes.
Yes, banks, wages, your real property.
Yes.
They can find you and search you out on the web, Facebook?
I can't see why not.
They find you on Facebook?
Why not?
And what do they do when they get you on Facebook?
I have no idea.
Okay, it's very interesting. I think that's
how is this stump the champ? If you're just there's no question there.
I asked you, could they go on Facebook?
That's the question. Can they go on Facebook? Yes, of course they can go on Facebook.
How could they?
I can go on Facebook.
Well, is that legal?
Why not?
Well, it is.
Facebook, you lose all your proprietary rights when you put anything on Facebook.
I was surprised.
Facebook owns everything you put on that website.
I was so surprised.
Did you not know that? Well, anything you put on there, they own. Any picture you put up is not yours anymore. They can use that for anything.
So they mining for information for the scufflers.
So my, is that four now?
It's four.
I was right?
So listen to what they've done this recently since I found this. I did not know they could go to Facebook and use the information. there was a tax evader. He announced on MySpace that he was going back home, returning home, and he was going to become a real estate broker, and he mentioned the company he was working for. And so the state there where he used to live found it and went to his new employer and put a garnisher in his wages.
If you want to, it's public information.
Wow. You got to really be careful. In California, one delinquent was identified as a rigger of sales, and a collection agent searched his name and found a discussion board and traced him to his new shop where he moved when he closed down the old shop and moved to a new shop.
Fantastic.
That's an industrious agent.
I know.
Well, California's strapped for money. So is New York. So be careful. Be careful. So yes, Andrew, so you got that right.
You're helping these people hide from the government by telling them not to go on Facebook.
But the IRS...
I thought you were above board here, Flash. I'm down with taxes. I block all my stuff on Facebook,
I
too.
I find it amazing that the government could do that. So now the question is...
What's the next one?
The IRS. They declined to say whether their agents go into those social networking sites. You think they do or not?
Of course.
I don't know. The IRS, you know, there is a standard. It can't just be completely illegal.
Why not?
Because that's the whole point of this system. There's checks
and
balances.
Wait, how is it illegal? If you put your information out there.
Checks and balances.
If you put your information out there, why can't they?
All right. So now here's the next question. Do you think it costs more to be a woman or a man? Okay.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. Wait. I didn't answer.
I'm going to give you individual examples. You're going to tell me. Do you think women pay more for soap?
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't even buy soap.
I don't even want. What about deodorant? Do you use deodorant?
On occasion. I got one of those travel size ones that I've been rocking for a while.
Do you think women pay more for deodorant?
Than me, yes.
Not you, women and men.
No, I think men pay more for deodorant.
Wrong.
Oh, I said no up front.
I said you're wrong. You got the soap right.
So women pay more for deodorant than men?
Yep.
I said yes.
You said no, women.
I did too. When I first said it, I told you about the travel size.
You're yelling at me. How about shaving cream?
Women even buy shaving cream?
So do you think...
I'd say no. Women wouldn't pay more because when do they use shaving cream?
Well, they shave their legs, don't they?
Don't you use soap?
Okay, so the answer is men pay...
I don't buy shaving cream either. Women, I shave dry. Women, like, you're retarded.
So expand your horizon beyond you. You don't.
But I'm my point of reference.
We want to ask the boys on the other side?
No, this is Stump Andrew, is it not?
Women pay more for shaving cream than men.
They're retarded.
And you want to know the reason why?
Because they charge more for it?
They charge more because they claim that women like to shave in the shower and they need to not make the bottom of the can rusty. Like, get rusty.
Get out of here.
That's what they tell you. I'm telling you, that's what they tell you.
So I'm 3 for 3.
You're loyal.
Based on my personal life, I'm 3 for 3.
No. No, you got the deodorant wrong. You got the shaving cream wrong.
I got the shaving cream right.
Okay, here we go next.
How did I get the shaving cream wrong?
Cream, face cream. Women pay more, men pay more.
Yet again, I would assume women because I don't use it.
I don't care about you. I'm talking about men and women. Oh, my God.
I am a man.
Stop yelling
You're
at
a woman.
Me. Stop yelling
You get
at
me
me
agitated.
I can't help it. Dry cleaning.
Yet again, don't do it. I assume women pay more, but men's suits are expensive. So wedding dresses, though, are super expensive.
So
to dry clean.
Are you saying men or women?
Women on average are higher.
You're right. Disgusting. How about tailor? You go in to get your pants shortened.
Yeah,
or,
I do that all the time.
Or your dress shortened
all the time.
Who do you think pays more?
I'm assuming women. I think you got a theme here going.
Okay, watch this. Traffic tickets. Who pays more traffic tickets?
Men.
Ah, you're so smart.
I know, because women don't get them.
Women wink and they get out of them.
I haven't gotten a parking tickets don't count, right?
Watch this. Here, this is a topic that we talked about
is
today.
Is this like a top 10?
Subprime mortgages. Do men pay more or women pay more?
I would assume men pay more because they make more money.
Well, you're wrong. They prey on women.
But the higher mortgage rates, they probably pay more.
No. Jeans. Who pays more for jeans?
Women. Thanks, guys, for yelling. But I would say women. Yeah. I almost bought a $200 pair of jeans the other day.
I don't know how that could be. You're my kid? How did that happen?
You yell at me because I don't use shaving cream, soap, or deodorant, but now I buy $200 jeans because I saved all my money.
Well, that's retarded. Save your money for something better
than
$200 jeans.
I didn't buy them.
Well, good. You decided not to buy them.
Because I'm your kid.
You're my kid.
I'm smart.
Okay.
Innately intelligent.
Okay. Health insurance. Who pays more,
women.
Man? Why?
Because you guys get pregnant. It's the same thing with
That's
disability
right.
insurance.
Okay, here's the last one. Here's the last one. Rogaine for your hair.
Women use Rogaine?
There are women who have issues with
I assume men... women probably more because they're, more vain. But I'd assume men overall spend more money on it.
No, I'm talking about charged more.
Who charged gets, more?
Yeah.
Men. I'm going with men because they advertise more.
Finally, he got one wrong. The Rogaine, women pay more because they put in a pink bottle versus a blue bottle. Could you believe that?
No, I would assume because the men there's more advertising for men.
Guess, listen to me. I'm telling you, consumer.
Who buys more Viagra, men or women?
I would think that men buy more Viagra.
I have no idea, but I just wanted to ask you that question.
Let's say goodbye to everybody. We'll tune in next week, and we'll see what we're going to come up with next week.
Official record, we're going to average that out. We'll go Andrew 6-1. We'll give him one loss for all those
right.
little ones.
Thanks, Jack. Talk to you boys next week. Thank you.